And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Last Mile Food Rescue is on a mission to save perfectly good food from the landfill and to deliver it to nonprofits serving members of our community. It got its start during the pandemic, and in a short time, it's reached a milestone. Cincinnati Edition producer Selena Reeder took a visit to see how volunteer efforts bring it all together.
I meet Last Mile Food Rescue volunteer Rachel Moore at the back dock of Clifton Market. We're here for a pickup. It's one of dozens volunteers are doing throughout the day. Moore got her start this winter when she saw a friend post about her volunteer work with Last Mile on social media. She was looking to do good after leaving a career as a special education teacher. She missed making an impact.
The thing that I've been surprised by is how grateful the people who are donating are. Even just the people who are working at UDF or Kroger's, they're saying, thank you so much for getting this. I hate throwing this away. I used to just have to throw it away and it would kill me. So they're really grateful that it's going to a good place.
Moore can relate to the feeling.
I hate it when I don't plan right and I buy my fresh produce or it goes bad, or, you know, the kids are gone for a week and so then the people don't drink as much milk as normal and the milk goes sour. It's really frustrating because I know that there are people out there who really need this food, and I hate throwing it away.
After Clifton Market, the next stop is TQL Stadium in the West End. So off I go with Food Rescue Dispatcher Benita Moonerlin.
The first FC rescue that we did was on Monday, and we got cucumbers and hummus and tomatoes, pork, chicken.
Down at the loading dock at FC Cincinnati Stadium, an employee arrives with a cart of food.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Moonerlin loads it into her car.
So you see we have some pulled pork, they have some pre-made sandwiches, they've dated and they labeled everything and everything is packaged nicely and safely. They had this in their freezer, so luckily the agency that we're going to is only about 10 minutes away, so this is all going to stay food safe.
Today the donation is going to Shelter House in Queensgate. The 22 trays of food will help to fill some of the gaps for Shelter House along with its regular donations. Volunteer manager Janelle Stevens says they serve nearly 78,000 clients a year.
It has just really been a blessing. It's been wonderful to Shelter House. They were connected to us by one of our long-term volunteer meal groups, and that's how we got connected. And so they have been providing like great donations for us to help, you know, sustain meals for our clients. And they bring about, I don't know, anywhere from 3 to 5 donations a week. And I mean, that's great for us because we have so many clients. Our numbers are, rising.
Many social service agencies have seen the need grow throughout the pandemic. That's where Last Mile Food Rescue has been closing some of the gaps, says Moonerlin.
Some agencies, during the pandemic, it was almost, overnight where the demand for their services greatly increased exponentially. And so some people, they had to turn away, or even if they were able to receive food, they had to turn away food because they didn't have the staff power to be able to go get that for themselves. And so with Last Mile, not only have they gotten that increase of food so they can meet the demand for their community, but we also deliver it for them.
A nonprofit founded during the pandemic is filling a growing need in the pandemic and reaching a major milestone of 500,000 pounds of food rescued in just 6 months of operation. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Selena Reeder.
And joining Cincinnati Edition now to talk more about Last Mile Food Rescue is co-founder and executive director Julie Schiffman. Julie, thank you for taking some time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us, why do this? Things were tough enough on everybody to try to get their own lives together. You put together a nonprofit last fall that has since distributed 500,000 pounds of food to local residents. Why do what you did?
So actually, this story goes back quite a bit further than last fall, really to exactly 2 years ago, where I was talking to my sister who lives in Atlanta. And she was on the phone on her cell phone. And I said, I can tell you're out driving. What are you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing a food rescue. And I said, what's a food rescue? I didn't even know what it was. And she told me that her app on her phone was directing her to the Atlanta Braves Stadium, and she was going to be picking up their food and taking it to a shelter. And I thought that was just incredible, and knew that there was no large scale situation like that in Cincinnati, a food rescue. So I reached out to Kurt Reber, the CEO of the Free Store, and said, is this happening in Cincinnati? And he said, no, but there's also a gentleman, Tom Fernandez, who's interested in this issue. And Kurt connected Tom and I literally 2 years ago, June 2019. And we have spent the last year and a half working on getting the process right so that we could open. And I'm excited to say we opened our doors in November, thought we'd be doing about 350,000 pounds for our entire first year, and have already picked up 500,000 pounds in just the first 5 months.
We're going to talk a bit about how the process works coming up, but when you say food rescue, could you give our listeners a clearer picture of what it means to rescue food?
Yes, absolutely. Because as I said, 2 years ago, I didn't even know what that term meant. So about 40% of fresh food. So think, when I say fresh food, think about dairy, milk, eggs, yogurt. Think about produce like cucumbers, lettuces, tomatoes. Think about meat, whether it's chicken or ribs or hamburger. All of the food at delis, food that even bread and pastries and cakes. So all of that, about 40% of it that's created actually gets thrown away and not eaten by anybody. This is, you know, a double problem. One, it fills up our landfills and creates an environmental problem of a large amount of greenhouse gases. But perhaps more importantly, we have a lot of people in our community who are food insecure. And this is really good, high quality food that any of us would be thrilled to have, and should be going to help this situation, which has only gotten worse in the last year.
So you yourself learned about what it means to rescue food just 2 years ago. Can you tell us what you have learned or what has surprised you about the way we purchase food, store food, buy food, consume food?
So one of the things that I want to make clear is that while unfortunately a large amount of food actually is thrown away by each and every one of us as individuals from our own refrigerators, when we rescue food, it's only from institutional kitchens. So whether that's or a grocer or a food distributor or a restaurant, because of food safety, we can't rescue from individuals as much as all of us. So that's one of the things that I learned. Secondly, as the interview that just happened before I came on mentioned, it is so gratifying to me to see how much the associates at places like UDF and Kroger and Castellini food distributors, how much they appreciate that they're no longer throwing away this food, that instead they're saving it. And then our volunteers come 6 days a week to pick up so that the food stays very fresh. This food has a 24 to 48 hour shelf life, so it's got to move really quickly if we're going to keep it out of the landfill. And they're grateful that they're no longer throwing it away.
Your sister in Atlanta first drew your attention to rescuing food. And then I understand when you were paired up with Mr. Fernandez, Tom Fernandez, who you noted a little bit earlier, that your research ultimately led you to a program in Pittsburgh. There was an app involved, the Food Rescue Hero app. Would you tell us what it is?
Sure. So one of the reasons it took us months to open was because we wanted to benchmark all the other cities that were doing food rescue already and determine what was the absolute best in class technology that was out there. So through our investigative investigative work, which took us about 6 months, and we visited lots of different cities. We determined that Pittsburgh's food rescue, which is called 412, that's the Pittsburgh area code, had the best in class technology for food rescue. So if the listeners picture a DoorDash driver, and that driver's driving around looking to get pinged when somebody needs their food picked up at Seasons 52 to be brought to their house, picture that, but instead of a DoorDash driver, it's our volunteer. And the app pings you, or not, you can turn it off, of course, if you want, and lets you know all of the available rescues that are happening in the next day, or you can even set it for weekly and pick up a weekly rescue so that you always know that you're picking up at the Hyde Park Kroger and you're dropping off to the Bond Hill Pantry, which happens to be a rescue I did yesterday. So this app then, once it's time for your rescue, you go into your app and you see exactly what you're supposed to do. We even have pictures of all of the doors that you have to go to so you can't get lost in the store or at the restaurant. And in addition, the app can take you to Google Maps or Apple Maps and actually direct you to each and every place you're going. So it makes it really a seamless process for our volunteers.
So it sounds like it works like any of the major apps that we're using all the time, Uber, Lyft, or Grubhub, and those sorts of things. But these aren't people who are being paid full time or doing this as a side hustle. These are people donating their time to help distribute food.
That's correct. All of our food, we call them food rescue heroes. All of our food rescue heroes are volunteers. And we're always looking for more. In fact, if any of you listeners are living in Northern Kentucky, we have a real mission to get food to Northern Kentucky because there are a lot of agencies working in Cincinnati. Well, that's not as true in Northern Kentucky. And so we've really made a significant effort to find food donors in Northern Kentucky and find food recipients, agencies such as Brighton Center and Care Mission and St. Bernard Pantry in Northern Kentucky. What we aren't being as successful in is getting Northern Kentucky volunteers. And we want all our rescues to be in 60 minutes or less. That means people that live near those food donors and food recipients need to be the ones to grab the rescues. So anybody out there from Northern Kentucky, please reach out to us. Well, everybody I'd love to see download the app and grab a rescue, but particularly Northern Kentucky listeners.
The Food Hero app, I imagine, is that in the regular Play stores on people's phones?
Yeah, you can get this wherever you typically get your apps, whether it's Apple or Google, but also our website, lastmilefood.org, has a place you can also download. It's simple to download. You just put in your name and email, and you're immediately able to grab rescues with a very quick, easy training on food safety that's also in the app.
You finally got up and running after a couple of years of behind-the-scenes work and some research and due diligence. You got up and running back in November, and that was one of our major spikes in COVID-19. Things were starting to look really dark again, and I imagine that the local community did find itself in serious need. So can you talk a little bit about the role that you feel your organization has played, not just in general delivering food, but because of what we were all dealing with?
The urgency increased. You know, this is a startup. And just like any startup, you're looking for what is the, you know, best possible time to open this. And I don't want to open until I know exactly what I'm doing. Well, we couldn't do that. There was just too much urgency. So we just had to open in November, even if we didn't feel we were exactly ready. And we knew people would understand when we made mistakes. And we just were straight up with everybody. Hey, volunteers, we're new at this. If we make mistakes, please tell us so we can learn. Same thing to our food donors who we really try extremely hard to make sure this process works for the food donor. Because if this doesn't work for Kroger or UDF or Castellini or Season 52 restaurant, we're not going to be able to sustain picking up the food. And even the recipients, you know, if we showed up and it didn't work seamlessly, we said, just tell us what we did wrong. Let us learn from it. And like any startup, we're going to pivot until we get it right. And luckily, we've been successful. I do have to tell one funny story just so people understand these things happen. We always have staff do the very first rescue, because the first time you rescue from somewhere new, things, you just haven't worked everything out yet. So I did the very first rescue we did from the Red Stadium. And I was driving on my way to the men's shelter house, which is literally a mile from the Red Stadium. So that's why our name is Last Mile. And I heard this swoosh when I stopped at a red light, and the water from the hot dogs that was in a container that I hadn't closed well enough spilled into my car.
Hot dog
so
water.
So those are the things that you learn as you go along. And of course, we immediately rectified that situation. It'll never happen to a volunteer because we learned from our mistakes.
I don't mean to giggle. I think hot dogs are delicious. Hot dog water is disgusting.
Disgusting. Agreed.
Oh, my goodness. But speaking of people hauling this food around and hopefully not being splashed by hot dog water, what was the experience like for volunteers during the pandemic? This seems like something that was accessible to volunteers, whereas a lot of other opportunities were not.
Yes, actually, we feel that we were able to engage probably more volunteers quicker because I hate to say we benefited from the fact that other volunteer experiences perhaps weren't as COVID safe because they had to be done in person. Here, you're in your own car. So other than, you know, having to get out to put the food in your car and with everybody had masks on, both, you know, donors, recipients, and all of our volunteers, you know, we've relaxed that today because the CDC guidelines has. But yes, it was as close to a COVID safe volunteer experience as you could have ever imagined. And in addition, you know, during this very difficult time, people really did want to make a difference. And so I feel personally that this perhaps helped with some mental health issues to allow people to find something good to focus on.
You said that Pittsburgh, of all the cities you researched, Pittsburgh was the best. I know that must have been challenging for someone from Cincinnati to confess that about Pittsburgh. But now I'm wondering, since you've been up and running now for several months, do you think there's something other communities can learn from Last Mile here in Cincinnati?
There is a National Food Rescue Alliance of cities that are currently doing it. And believe it or not, there's not that many cities. I mean, it's growing city by city across the country. But other cities or communities that are interested to learn. And, you know, one of the things I've been enjoying is helping other cities that want to start this up. So just coincidentally, we had a visit from Wichita, Kansas last week, and they came here to learn from us, so that they could take some of our best practices back to their community.
And we are talking with Julie Schiffman, who is the co-founder and executive director of Last Mile Food Rescue. So now you've got this thing, you're the executive director of the organization. What's next for it?
We're just going to continue to grow. The demand is there. The amount of food that's still being thrown away is in the millions of pounds a year. So I know it sounds like a lot that we hit 500,000, but we know there's, when we last looked, 5 million pounds still to go that is currently being thrown away. So we're going to continue to grow as more places open up. You know, as I said, we just started rescuing from the Red Stadium 2 weeks ago. They're just now going to get to full capacity. We just added TQL Stadium. I'll look forward to reaching out to the Bengals Stadium. I haven't done that yet. But think about the universities. Think about the convention centers. Think when the hotel ballrooms open up again, how much more food that's going to be that's been going into the landfill. So we will continue to grow as long as there is food out there for us to rescue.
You said when you started that you had a goal of 350,000 pounds rescued in your first year. You already exceeded that within 6 months by 150,000 pounds. Do you have a new annual goal for this first year?
In fact, we do. So when we hit that 350,000 so quickly, we set a new stretch goal for our first year of 1.5 million pounds. And we follow our trajectory on a daily basis, and we're going to get there.
We've been talking with Julie Schiffman, the co-founder and executive director of Last Mile Food Rescue. More details on that and the associated app if you wish to volunteer, WVXU.org. Inside the Cincinnati Edition tab, she had a particular call for Northern Kentucky volunteers. Julie, thank you for the time you gave us.
Thank you, everyone.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. This theme music was composed by Rob Fetters. And you can find archives of this program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. I'll be spending the rest of the day thinking about hot dog water. And until then, we'll talk to you tomorrow.